Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Wednesday, April 24th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210 is how you jump in on social media at 1210WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Dawn Stenslin with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. We are absolutely loaded on this hump day Wednesday. Tony Bruno will join us at 8:30 this morning. Dawn Stenslin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy hump day.
Gregory.
Yeah, buddy.
We are ready to go, man.
Let's do this.
Did you say let's do
this? This. D-I-S.
D-I-S.
Yeah.
The grammar jar has been emptied out, I see, in here.
Well, all the money went to the Travis Manning Foundation. Yeah.
Might need to fill it back up with who dis.
Who dis?
There we go. It's going to be a good day today, folks.
Yeah, it is.
We've got so much to get to. Pennsylvania primary results. I couldn't sleep last night. I didn't know if Trump was going to win Pennsylvania and be the presumptive nominee coming out of the Keystone State. I went to bed at 8:08 p.m. Apparently, they called it at 8:09 p.m.
By the way, I know that's the funny talking point, but the more serious talking point is that look at the vote totals. Look at the vote totals.
Oh, here we go.
I sent them to you this morning.
I see it.
I sent them to you this morning.
I see it.
Yep.
We will chop that up. We will break that down. Also, yesterday, Trump trial, the circus, and the kangaroo court, that is. A very interesting breakdown on swing state spending between Joe Biden in the seven swing states compared to his opponent, Donald Trump. What is the latter waiting on? We'll try to make sense of that. We've got more protests, Israel, Hamas, and actually the first step towards bipartisan support for these protests that ultimately impede the paths of many individuals. And it's coming from a state that you might not expect it. We'll get to that. Alec Baldwin, we have an update on that story.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, man.
Unbelievable story.
When crazy meets crazy.
That is correct. And also this morning, the Federal Trade Commission and non-compete agreements in the workplace. If you've ever worked in media, you know what a non-compete is about.
By the way, if you read the fine print, it doesn't include us. It doesn't. I'm just telling you. It doesn't include us.
Oh, I know. It should. But it doesn't.
So, sorry to burst everybody's bubble here at 6:03 in the morning.
Well, look at this.
But Dawn Stenslin, Nick Kale, Greg Stocker, Rich Zioli, Dom Giordano, it does not include us.
Stocker's just bringing out the flamethrower this morning.
I don't care. I'm tired of this. Every radio show is like, hey, everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Everything's great. Don't worry about anything. No, we're the realest show on this radio dial.
The realest?
Thank you.
The realest of the real?
Yes. That's exactly what I said.
Who dat?
The realist.
Who dis?
I'm the realist, yo.
Oh, boy. I'm just going to step aside. See, let Stocker know to navigate the ship today.
Nah, please don't get in his way.
He's got more juice than I do. So we got a lot to get to. It's going to be a good show. 6:04, but let's get to the news. Round number one. The great who dis? Who dat? Well, it looks like it's Dawn Stenslin, actually.
Yes, and good morning. Overnight, a 17-year-old delivery a person who's a hardworking 17-year-old, according to Philadelphia police, was attacked, chased by a band of, I don't know, thugs, thieves. That's the presumption here. They were trying to rob him after his shift was over. So that search is on. They were able to fire some shots and shot him at some point in the leg, but he looks like he's going to recover after being in the hospital. We've got that breaking news this morning as that is developing. And we also have the update on Pembroke Middle School of students and parents. This is Montgomery County staging that protest outside the office of the superintendent for the North Penn School District after a school attack left that 12-year-old little girl injured, badly injured, with her head cracked open, staples. She's recovering on concussion protocol. It's a story we've been covering among seventh graders in the cafeteria, in the school cafeteria. And we know that, in fact, that protest happened yesterday. We know there were calls for the superintendent to step down and resign. So parents not happy with the lack of transparency. They were told one thing. It wasn't quite the truth. So we're still getting to the bottom of everything here.
Boy, I tell you what, the educators, not all of them, obviously, because most do a good job, but boy, they are failing with the safety of our students, right? I mean, when you get these warnings and you fail to act and you could have prevented it, I mean, the reality is, as taxpayers, we fund your salary. And when our kids are in your custody, so to speak, for those 8 hours a day, well, you know, we expect them to be protected.
It's disturbing. So we have that going on this morning. And obviously, Pennsylvania primary day yesterday, election results. We'll have all the updates for you. As to no surprise, it's going to be, the matchup is going to be DJT v. Biden. But what do the numbers tell us? I know that we'll get into that. One race I will point out to you is Pennsylvania primary results show it's Republican Dave Sunday, or Sunday, as Greg Stocker would say. He's going to face Eugene DePasquale in the attorney general's race.
Okay.
So that's a big one because, you know, the attorney general, remember Josh Shapiro, Democrat, now governor, was, in fact, the attorney general.
That's correct.
So if he would have, let's say, a Republican AG, that's somebody, and I'll just say it like this, that can bust your chops.
Mm-hmm.
And so will it be somebody who goes along and makes life easy for the Democrat governor, or will it be somebody who is keeping his feet to the fire, so to speak?
That's correct.
We also have, and this is another one, we've talked a lot about embattled Representative Kevin Boyle, I should say, who's a Democrat. And in fact, he was being primaried by Sean Dougherty. So it looks like Dougherty is ahead in that race. So just wanted to bring that forth to you that Representative Kevin Boyle had that arrest warrant out for him at the last moment. Larry Krasner, the DA, had called that arrest warrant back. And so we're watching all these local races, but it looks like Dougherty doing quite well as the Democrat in that one in the primary. So just a couple of races to highlight for you this morning. It was a very low voter turnout across Pennsylvania, and in particular in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
About 16%.
I was trying to get some stats and data from Athan Kutarumbas, our buddy, and as of last night around 8 o'clock, he just didn't have anything. So maybe we can get him on later towards the end of the week, Thursday or Friday, when more of it comes out.
Yeah. So yeah. It's just, we have to read between some lines. I will say in the Pennsylvania primary, another headline is that for Joe Biden, we had 14,000 write-ins as uncommitted, that so-called protest vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's in Philadelphia. This has to do with Israel, Gaza. We talked yesterday, all that breaking news with arrests at campuses and now on the West Coast as well, not just the East Coast, but a lot of Ivy League schools and many upset with the Israel, pro-Israel policies.
Mm-hmm.
How about 155,000 votes for Nikki Haley in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, 16%.
Yeah. Do you want to go through these numbers real quick? It'll only take like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Joe Biden, Democrat, obviously, 920,274 votes, or 93.1%. Dean Phillips, 68,046, 6.9%. And then obviously on the Republican side of things, Donald Trump, 786,485, or 83.5%. And as you just mentioned, Nikki Haley, 155 and change, 16.5%.
I get it. I know these primaries were uncontested, but like, it's, you know, the narrative has always been Donald Trump voters will walk on cold to vote for Donald Trump. Donald Trump was on the ballot. And it looks like Joe Biden voters walked on cold to vote for Joe Biden.
Big disparity in spending, too, by the way. In Pennsylvania, for swing state spending, Joe Biden has spent $3.5 million. Trump spent $700,000.
This is a consistent pattern we've seen over the primaries. I get it. It's easy to do protest votes in primaries. I 100% understand that. It doesn't necessarily mean that these same people are going to protest in the general election. But these patterns should be concerning for the GOP. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, and especially because we do not have an open primary, to Greg's point.
Mm-hmm.
So these are Republican voters. So a lot of people had said, oh, well, they're Democrats in other primaries who were, coming across and voting Republican. That's not what this is.
Right, these are the case here.
These are upset, registered Republicans in Pennsylvania. It's actually 17%, 155,820, nearly 156,000 people had a protest vote.
Yep.
And so, by the way, 68,000 people in Pennsylvania voted for Dean Phillips over Trump. So
Dean Phillips.
I'm just saying he has as much chance as Nikki Haley did.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two choices on there for both of them.
Yep.
What happened to Scott Pressler? I thought he registered all these Republicans.
He did.
And
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
I'm just saying. Looks like a huge deficit.
Yeah.
By the way, Joe Biden got a bigger percentage of the Pennsylvania vote in the primary than Obama did in 2012.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. So I'm telling you guys, it's not, we can all sit here and say, oh, it's great.
I am a little surprised. Like if you just flip and you become, whether you flip or you just became a new registered Republican voter and you didn't vote yesterday, I'd love to know why you sat home. Because the last thing I want is getting Athanon in, I don't know, let's call it November 10th this fall. And he says the same thing that he said to us on this show in the midterms of 2022.
The warning signs were there.
Yeah. I don't know. The people just didn't show up. They stayed home. What the hell are people doing?
Yeah. Again, it's a primary. It's, there was nothing really to vote for yesterday.
Right.
But the narrative has always been Donald Trump voters will walk on cold to vote for him. And,
they were watching the trial on C-SPAN.
They had to work, so a little overtime. That's what that was. Had to work. It's a primary, so you might say, hey, everybody knew he's going to get the nod, and they ignored it, and it's a big nothing burger. But I think, to your point, both parties, Biden, the fact that Biden had these, uncommitted, this protest vote, we don't, and we'll get all the numbers, and they'll crunch it, and they'll look at it. But, yeah, I think in a closed primary situation, I think that it's significant, and they have to shore that up.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's saying that April, it's different in the primary versus the general. I said that at the very beginning. It's true. I'm just saying that these patterns over the last couple of months with all of these primaries should be.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the Trump campaign needs to look into that.
Are you being ripped in the YouTube chat yet?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Just checking.
Of course.
Just had to do a status check.
Because I don't shoot rainbows up people's butts, so therefore,
thank God,
I must be lying.
I need that on my board.
Like other,
I don't shoot rainbows up people's butts
like other hosts do. Well, everything's fine.
Oh man,
that's $10 extra for that service.
Yes,
it's gonna be a red wave in 2022. Trump's gonna win in 2020. Okay.
So in State House District 172, I mentioned Sean Dougherty, yes, nephew of Johnny Doc. He received 73% of the vote, so he trounced fellow Democrat Kevin Boyle, who got 27% so far of that vote. Okay, so just that's 98% in. As far as the Republican side in the State House District 172, Aziz Gill, the Republican, 65% of that vote against Patrick Gushue, who was Aziz Gill was the endorsed candidate. So he was, and for Patrick Gushue, he's a military veteran, great young man, but he first time out running. So that was, and they both had said on our air that, and this has to do with Gil Gushue, they would endorse their fellow Republican. So there's a lot of, a lot of support on that side. So I know we'll go through those numbers, but just to give you some other numbers of the day, the Senate as as we expected, overwhelmingly passing a $95.3 billion aid package officially for the war-torn nations of Ukraine and Israel, as well as defense of Taiwan, for example, sending the measure to President Joe Biden's desk for his signature. Biden says he'll sign it today. That's what is expected. And the big one to watch, making headlines, of course, today, TikTok diversion plan. We talked a lot about that, a lot, but going on with TikTok, that signs this into, that will sign this into law. Another weird story of the day, two Ambler burglars who used birthday bags, you know, those paper bright birthday bags.
Uh-huh.
They struck Ambler, Montgomery County, made off with thousands of dollars in goods, two different stores, two different CVS stores. In one case, it was $1,200. In another case, it was $4,000.
Wow.
So they made up, they've released their photos and they're wearing hoodies.
Of course.
It's, you know, and that sort of thing. And it was like 70 degrees the other day. But putting that word out, putting the surveillance video out. As we are sponsored this morning in Kiel & Company News Live by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, with clearly Greg Stocker could use a treatment from Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa at Salon.
Oh, I'm being ripped. I'm being ripped. It's amazing.
But I will say that I'm thankful that the league came out and said what I said. The refs were horrible the other night. We should have won game two for our Philadelphia 76ers, who take on the Knicks at home tomorrow night. But they said, naughty, naughty, naughty. Those refs were naughty. They ignored Coach Nick Nurse. They, in fact, by the way, Maxey was fouled twice, not once, but twice. Didn't call it. So, league coming out saying that
nobody cares, play harder.
A lot of first round officiating drama with the Sixers, and also LeBron crying about the refs over a third quarter foul.
Ugh.
Maxey did come out. He got most improved player, which I think is nice. Most improved. He came out and said, you know what, we have to, okay, it was great the refs said that, but we got to come out, we've got to work harder, just like you guys said yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And be better, be best, as Melania would say.
Here's a hot take for you.
Yeah.
Forget most improved player. Next year, Tyrese Maxey, he's going to be in the running for MVP.
That is a hot take.
Wow.
There you go.
Woohoo.
Right up there with my take yesterday about Fetterman becoming a Republican.
Well, you're going to love the forecast today. We're at 52 degrees. I know it's cloudy, a spattering of rain. Today's high, 72 degrees.
Wow.
So we cool off tomorrow. 58 degrees is the high for your Thursday, but we do see sunshine returning, with today more clouds than sun and the spattering of rain throughout the day. So tomorrow, 58, Friday, 64, bright sunny skies. The weekend, what do you see? Sunday, 63 degrees and sunny for your Saturday. Sunday, 81 degrees.
81, wow.
For your Sunday.
Let's go.
Let's do this.
We'll do your grass seed really well. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Please take Greg Stocker away. The secret to spoiling.
It's funny that I'm being like, I'm just
poor,
like,
Greg.
I'm telling you what I see. That's all I'm saying. And for everybody saying that it's the Republicans just stayed home because Trump was the nominee, so was Biden. Like, what are you doing? The Democrats didn't stay home.
Yeah. They didn't.
All right, I'm sorry, Dawn.
Well, the Republicans are, we're all at work.
Big take coming.
You know what I mean? We're
today.
Working hard.
I'm sorry, Nate.
No, it's fine. It's great.
So Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, secrets of spoiling the moms in your life this spring, and a few of your dads that you might work with who are spoilers. Now with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are available. josephanthony.com, Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Phil says in the group text, I voted yesterday, smiley face. So somebody went out and voted. There you go. All right, 6:18, let's get to a Wednesday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the big take this morning, Trump and the kangaroo court. The circus has rolled into town as Donald Trump's first criminal case begins to heat up in New York City. And you knew it would just be a matter of time before this turned into an epic clown show. And Alvin Bragg's preposterous case has not disappointed. With jury selection in the rearview mirror and opening statements underway, things have gotten testy as this sham trial begins to take shape before the judge and the jury. From violating a gag order to the National Enquirer and paternity tests to murder in prison assertions, this case has it all. And it's only the opening week of the case. Let's start with the circus, and then we will get down to the legal nuance as well as the election interference. But first, the sideshow stories. The National Enquirer, a.k.a. Tabloid Trash, reportedly had a story about Donald Trump and a love child, as well as former Playboy playmate Karen McDougal attempting to sell a story. David Pecker, funny, who is the publisher of the National Enquirer, took the stand again yesterday to finish his testimony after Donald Trump's contempt hearing. Pecker testified about what went on with his former editor, Dylan Howard. Here are some of the excerpts of that testimony, courtesy of the Daily Mail. Pecker testifies on the highly confidential nature of the Trump deal. Pecker told the court he told Dylan Howard, then editor of the Enquirer, about the deal, but it had to be, quote, highly confidential. Pecker asked Howard to notify both the West Coast and East Coast bureau chiefs about this deal, saying, quote, I said any stories that are out there about Donald Trump, his family, the election, whatever it might be, I want you to vet the stories. I want you to bring them to me, Pecker recalled saying during his testimony. We'll have to speak to Michael Cohen. You'll call him or I will, and we'll tell him what the stories are. Pecker was asked why it was kept secret, and he said he told Howard that they were going to help the campaign, and he wanted it to keep it as quiet as possible. He said he did not want anyone to know what the agreement or what he wanted to do was about. And keep in mind that none of this that we just read here, this testimony yesterday, is illegal. Pecker testifies about calling Cohen over a doorman's claim that Trump fathered a child. Pecker testified that he alerted Michael Cohen that a doorman was selling a story about Donald Trump fathering a child and that Cohen called him back. According to Pecker, Cohen told Pecker he verified that the two names were on the payroll and asked Pecker to check out the story. Pecker explained that he called Cohen because of their August 2015 meeting where he agreed that with anything he heard in the marketplace, if it was negative for Trump, his family, or his campaign, it would have to go. During Pecker's testimony about the doorman trying to sell a story about Trump fathering a child, Trump shook his head and leaned back at the defense table, according to reporters in the room. Now, also, keep in mind, even if true, not a criminal act. Cohen told Pecker that Trump would take a DNA test to disprove the doorman story, and it would be impossible that the Irish-German Trump could father a Hispanic child. Pecker testified that Michael Cohen said the story being shopped around by Trump's doorman was, quote, absolutely not true. According to Pecker, Cohen said that Mr. Trump would take a DNA test to prove that he did not father a child with his housekeeper. He's German-Irish, and this woman is Hispanic, and it's absolutely impossible. Cohen apparently told Pecker, I told Michael Cohen, that won't be necessary. We'll vet the story, replied Pecker. He also said he never paid a source to kill a story about Donald Trump, but he was willing to pay because, quote, he thought it was very important. And then lastly, Trump laughed that his love child story would have made the biggest sale for the National Enquirer since Elvis Presley's death. And we know Stocker's a big fan of Elvis. The doorman, Dino, so we've got a doorman named Dino. Dino the doorman would be shopping the story to other media outlets and doing so very quickly, Pecker disclosed in court. Quote, I bought the story. If the story was true and I published it, it would probably be the biggest sale in the Enquirer since the death of Elvis Presley, to which that got a laugh from Donald Trump in court. And as a result, Pecker said he did not have any intention of publishing it. And even if the vetting came back saying the story was true, he would have waited until after the 2016 election. So that right there, part one of the circus. But the sideshow antics and tabloid nonsense runs bipartisan. because Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene always loves to be involved in the circus, especially when Barnum and Bailey come to town, and the GOP congresswoman couldn't help but take advantage of an opportunity for more airtime. In quotes, Marjorie Taylor Greene now coming out saying she believes that Democrats are conspiring to have former President Donald Trump murdered in jail, and they're attempting to strip his presidential Secret Service detail to accomplish their goal. Of course, she made her case that liberals want to see Trump die in jail during an interview on the Alex Jones InfoWars podcast and show. Green claimed that many court cases Trump is facing, including an ongoing trial where he has pleaded not guilty to 34 felony counts relating to alleged hush money payments, are an intentional effort by Democrats to imprison Trump until he dies. Green was referencing how Mississippi Democrat Rep. Benny Thompson, former chairman of the House January 6th Select Committee, introduced a bill last week that aims to strip Secret Service protections from former government officials that are convicted of a felony. I'm telling you right now, this case is taking on the life of the O.J. Simpson case. And I referenced the contempt hearing earlier in the Big Take, which is where we go next. According to Mediaite, Donald Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, was scolded in court on Tuesday as his client faced a hearing to determine whether he violated a gag order issued by Judge Juan Merchan. Quote, "You're losing all credibility with the court," Merchan told Blanche at one point, according to reporters from the New York Times and other outlets that were present in the courtroom. As the lawyer made a series of arguments to justify Truth Social posts made by Trump targeting people involved with his Manhattan trial. The gag order prevents the former president from attacking witnesses, court staff, jurors, and other family members of those involved in the trial. Blanche got into a tense back and forth with Merchan over an argument that Trump's reposts, or retweets on Twitter, but reposts on Truth Social, do not fall under the guidelines of the gag order. Trump has often reposted a flurry of posts in support of himself. A surprising one came in the form of a thank you to convicted felon and federal inmate Michael Avenatti. The lawyer, convicted of defrauding Stormy Daniels, has been arguing that Trump cannot get a fair trial in New York, an argument that Trump has shared. And yesterday, court wrapped up for the day shortly after 2 p.m., here is what Donald Trump had to say about the gag order. Listen and watch this.
This is, again, back to the sham trial. He'd be doing two rallies a day. You know that. You know that he loves getting out and talking to real Americans and real people, and he's campaigning on the issues. And one of the reasons why this is election interference is because when President Trump campaigns, he talks about inflation. He talks about the border. He talks about public safety. He talks about stopping the wars and stopping the killing. These are the issues that are mattered to the voters. And so every day that the Democrats can keep him sitting in the courtroom is a win for them. And so it is absolutely it's election interference, and it is so unfair to the public and to our country to let this to have this happening.
Well,
all right, that was North Dakota Republican Governor Doug Burgum, who is in agreement with this sham trial. That was him yesterday on Fox. Wholeheartedly agree with what Doug Burgum had to say. But here's Trump after court yesterday talking about the gag order. Oh, we don't have the gag order clip? All right, well, we'll
play. Wait, hang on. I believe this is it. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Cut B. Yes.
As we know, there's no cameras there, but you can believe he's going to talk a great deal about how he feels about all of this.
The gag order is totally unconstitutional. Can't even allow articles to be put in. As an example, these are articles that were over the last day and a half. They're very good articles. They tell you the case is a sham. And it shouldn't even be tried. It shouldn't have been submitted. And I don't even know if you're allowed to put them in. We have a gag order, which to me is totally unconstitutional. I'm not allowed to talk, but people are allowed to talk about me. So they can talk about me. They can say whatever they want. They can lie. But I'm not allowed to say anything. I just have to sit back and look at why a conflicted judge has ordered me to have a gag order. I don't think anybody's ever said anything like this. I'd love to talk to you people. I'd love to say everything that's on my mind, but I'm restricted because I have a gag order. And I'm not sure that anybody's ever seen anything like this.
All right, so there's Donald Trump, and of course you heard Doug Burgum from North Dakota. Biased? Okay, that's fine. But how about a publication that usually is not biased in favor of Donald Trump or Republicans? How about a publication that agrees with legal scholars, former federal prosecutors, and also GOP elected officials? I present to you the New York Times with the headline of this column that says the following, quote, "I thought the Bragg case against Trump was a legal embarrassment. Now, I think it's a historic mistake." This is written by Jed Handelsman Sugarman, who is a law professor at Boston University. And here is one of the excerpts. "About a year ago, when Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan District Attorney, indicted former President Donald Trump, I was critical of the case and called it an embarrassment. I thought an array of legal problems would and should lead to long delays in federal courts. After listening to Monday's opening statement by prosecutors, I still think the Manhattan DA has made a historic mistake. Their vague allegation about, quote, a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 presidential election has me more concerned than ever about their unprecedented use of state law and their persistent avoidance of specifying an election crime or a valid theory of fraud." I'll wrap up by saying this. If and when Trump is found not guilty in this New York court, I think a not guilty verdict is going to send a strong message to the American public. That message being, are you paying attention now? Doesn't mean that Trump will be found not guilty in upcoming cases, classified documents, Fannie Willis, January 6th. But I do think it will set the tone of what's going on here and how each case seems to be a stretch. Mar-a-Lago, Presidential Records Act, Joe Biden, the Robert Hur investigation, Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade, Fulton County, and of course, January 6th. Don't take the bait on labels from the media such as hush money, hush money's not a crime, or insurrection. Trump was never charged with it. Hopefully, the jury won't take the bait either. But for now, one thing is for sure. The circus is in full swing in the city that doesn't sleep, and it is a waste of time. It is a waste of taxpayer dollars, and I believe it's election hacking by the party that is petrified of a Trump second term. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT, and of course in the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get some conversation about what happened in court yesterday with Trump, and also updates on the protests between Israel and Hamas that are raging across this country on college campuses, and that's on the other side as well. Kale and Company, Wednesday morning here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Good to have all of you in here on a Wednesday morning. Brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. Check out the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport at one of their five Piazza Honda locations: Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne. Shop all their inventory at PiazzaAutoGroup.com. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Tony Bruno will join us at 8:30 this morning. Cut sheet absolutely loaded. That's coming up at 7:45. Trump yesterday, a big day in court. If you want to jump in and talk about any of those nonsensical charades that were going on, from Marjorie Taylor Greene's assertion on the Alex Jones podcast to Trump's gag order to also the testimony yesterday of the National Enquirer, you can certainly do so. But I think this is very interesting. And Phil, if you want to throw up this graphic on YouTube, Tom Bevin from Real Clear Politics tweeted out yesterday a graph of the amount of money being spent between the two campaigns in the swing states. And Phil, and you can just leave that up there for a while we talk about this and go through this. We talked about the primary results yesterday in Pennsylvania. Joe Biden getting about 93% of the vote to Dean Phillips's 7. Trump getting about 84% to Nikki Haley's 16.5%. But I do think this is interesting because you look at the swing state spending right now in the 7 swing states combined: Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, North Carolina, Nevada, Joe Biden has outspent Donald Trump by about a 15-to-1 margin. And in order of most money spent by Biden to least money spent, and also it really corresponds with Trump as well, we'll give you these numbers. Joe has spent the bulk of his money in swing states in Michigan, $3.8 million. Donald Trump has spent $134,000. Pennsylvania, Joe Biden has spent $3.5 million. Donald Trump has spent $716,000. In Wisconsin, Joe has spent $2 million. Donald Trump has not spent a penny yet. In Georgia, Biden has spent $1.9 million. Trump has spent $320,000. Arizona, Biden has spent $1.8 million. Arizona for Trump has not spent a dollar. North Carolina, Biden has spent $1.2 million. Trump has not spent a dollar. And in Nevada, Biden has spent $1.1 million. Trump has not spent a dollar. So the question is, because we know Trump does not have the cash that Joe Biden does in his war chest, but we also know that Trump just had a record fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago about 2 weeks ago, where coming off of a week in which Joe generated $26 million in March, Trump doubled that at that private fundraiser, $800,000 to sit at the head table and get a plate of food, and he raked in about $51 million. I have to believe that Trump will start spending right around the convention, mid to late summer, and then have a blitzkrieg, so to speak, of ads in the fall. But right now, Biden is just obliterating him in dollars spent in swing states, $15 million in change to $1.1 in change for Donald Trump. Is this a concern for you right now if you're a Trump supporter? Because it tells me a couple of things, and I'm curious to see what you think, Dawn. Michigan, Joe is spending the most, but we also know he's got a major problem in Michigan with Dearborn, with Muslim voters. We know Pennsylvania is probably the most important swing state, and Joe comes here a lot, hence the $3.5 million. But as you move down the list and go from swing state to red states, it looks to me like Biden is not spending as much in places like Georgia or Arizona or North Carolina, where maybe he believes Trump is going to win those states. Any thoughts on what you're seeing here as far as the disparity in dollars spent and when Trump will empty a clip, so to speak?
I think even though I know we all live and breathe this, the political stuff, you know, life goes on. I think for most people, the average person, yesterday during the it's the Pennsylvania primary, it's lackluster. There's not a lot of hype about it. Nobody's talking about it. We're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it just tells me that we're 6 months out. He has to, I don't even think it engages even right now. And I think part of the problem is that Trump is stuck in this court.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it hurts him.
Well,
he's not able to hold these. I mean, everybody's looking forward to, for example, Trump Wildwood coming up in May.
Mm-hmm.
Once he starts the rallies and revs, everybody's going to be excited about that. And it's so much fun and the weather breaks.
Yep.
I think that'll be a whole new climate and everybody gets revved up again.
Yeah.
But those rallies matter and they're awesome and they're fun. And there's just so much just culturally and socially that goes into those rallies, and there's an energy about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this persecution of Trump, which is absurd. I mean, I think you played yesterday, Turley, the clip of him saying,
oh, he obliterated the whole case.
Yeah, it's absurd.
It is.
It's embarrassing. But it does hurt Trump. But once the rallies begin and we get going, we haven't even, like you've said, he hasn't really engaged. He hasn't spent the money. He really hasn't had hardly any rallies.
And there's a couple of things that you said that's very interesting. So you talk about the engagement level of the casual political consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible? And let's face it, this is the third time around he's running for office. Joe Biden is no stranger to how this works. I mean, Joe Biden probably, you know, when he had a functional brain, knew how this process works. And now his handlers, I would assume as bad as the whole administration is, they know how this works. You know, are they wasting some of that money? Because if people are not engaged right now, I mean, maybe Trump and the Trump administration and his camp have it figured out. If we are, cash struck and we don't have the disposable dollars that Joe has, why waste it now in March, in April, in May, if mm-hmm. people are, quote, checked out or tuned out? Save the money we do have for when people check back in. That's very important. But also, think about this. Even though he can't get out and do as many rallies and be on the campaign trail as much as he would like, with these court cases and these trials, and every day that he walks out of the courtroom and Fox breaks in or CNN shows a clip or MSNBC shows a clip, in a way, this is some of the best advertising Trump could ever ask for, right? Because if you believe he's being persecuted and he's spending his days in these, as he says, these freezing cold courtrooms, it's headline news. It's one of the top stories. In a way, the Democrats are doing the spending and the advertising for Trump here. If, of course, you believe that Donald Trump is being unlawfully prosecuted, they're doing his. This is probably the best exposure he could ever get, which is why I go back to the mugshot. Like, the mugshot worked against the Democrats and the DOJ, because I think that that mugshot galvanized the base. And also, we talk about other communities that are jumping ship and becoming Trump supporters, whether it's the Latino community or the Black community. Remember, when that mugshot came out, there were a lot of people in the Black community said, you know what? I know what it's like to be persecuted, and I can relate to Trump. Mm-hmm. In a way, this a lot of this stuff, and it's calculated, it's orchestrated, it's backfiring on the Democrats right now, if you believe the polls.
I think it is, because there was a man on TikTok, Instagram the other day, and he was talking about all of the persecution against Trump. All these trials, mm-hmm. giving all the numbers, it's staggering. All these different court cases, how many lawyers, all of that. And he said, I've been a longtime Democrat. I'll have to find it. But he says, I'm going with this guy because why are they so afraid of this guy? Mm-hmm. Why are they throwing this at him? And so we do have this rebellious nature as Americans, right? That's how we were founded. We mm-hmm. are rebels. And so the fact that they're going after this guy, and it's so over the top.
Yep.
Yes. At the end of the day, I believe you're right. But, you know, to be in court, to be held up in court, dealing with all these lawyers, dealing with the day to day, it's exhausting.
It is. And yet yesterday after court, he was welcoming in the former prime minister of Tokyo at Trump Tower yesterday. I'm like, how does this guy have any energy left? I'd have been taking my nap by now.
It's amazing, but you can't, I mean, he's a human being. You can't tell me that it doesn't wear on you. He should be out campaigning. He should be out fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disgrace that they're doing this. I do hope it further backfires. I do hope people look at this and say, look at what they're doing, basically lawyer gymnastics to try to come up with some of these charges and allegations. Everything gets refuted. And at the end of the day, what I notice is that everything that Trump said about it was right. If you go back and you fact check it, and sometimes I find myself doing this,
mm-hmm.
but it's exhausting.
It is.
And he should be campaigning. They should drop all this nonsense. Let the man campaign.
Yep.
Let the American people be the judge and jury. Seriously.
Yep, I agree. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll come back, wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. We've got some updates with protesters. Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton, urging the big guy to do one very important thing. We'll give you those details and also some bipartisan support in a state you might not expect it when it comes to cracking down on these traffic blocking protests. It's all still ahead. Kale and Company, Wednesday morning. We're back after this.
My kitchen is the heart of my home. If you're tired of that dated old kitchen with those dark old cabinets, or maybe a bathroom that you're just embarrassed about, ready for a refresh? Then you need to give my friends at Kitchen Magic a call. They've been transforming spaces quickly, beautifully, and affordably since 1979. From refacing to custom cabinets, backsplash, counters. Yes, you can get the kitchen you want now, right now. They're offering 12 months, no payments, no interest financing, plus 10% off your remodel. Just schedule your free in-home design consultation today. KitchenMagic.com. KitchenMagic.com. Don't forget to tell them Dawn sent you.
This- This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
It is a Wednesday morning, a lot with Donald Trump right off the top this morning. Yesterday's day number six of his trial in New York City. Also, the way swing state spending has gone. Primary day in Pennsylvania in the books. Joe Biden, 93%. Dean Phillips, about 7%. Donald Trump, 84%. Nikki Haley, around 16.5%. We got a lot coming up as the next 3 hours move along here. Cut sheet at 7:45, Tony Bruno at 8:30, and we're going to get into which feels like day number 7 or 8 of these protests going on in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll get to both of these stories after Dawn's news and round number 2 coming up to kick off the 7 o'clock hour, because now we have Republicans that are coming out and saying, you know what, if Kathy Hochul, if Eric Adams aren't going to mobilize the National Guard for these Ivy League Jewish students at Columbia University, then Joe Biden should step in. We'll get to that story, as well as in California, both Democrats and Republicans are fed up and they are tired of the protests that are resulting in the blocking of traffic in California. And both Dems and Republicans have agreed to a bill that would stiffen penalties. We'll get to that story in hour number 2 as well. It's all still ahead. Dawn will have some news as we kick off the 7 o'clock hour next. It's Kale and Company here on a Wednesday morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.